We're continuing, wrapping up actually, starting to wrap up our series on the book of Mark. Last week, Christian preached on Mark chapter 11. He talked about forgiveness. He talked about why forgiveness is important, why it matters, and what difference it makes in our lives. It's a really important aspect. I'm really glad he talked about it because it's a very important aspect of the Christian life, forgiveness is. Jesus talked about it often. Today, we're going to talk about two more aspects of the Christian life that are also, I would say, very important. Jesus talks about it today in our passage. And these two aspects of Christian life really can't be separated. They go hand in hand, which is why we're tackling them both at the same time. And they are responsibility and accountability. Responsibility and accountability. How many parents in here, their kids are at the age where they are asking for a pet? Anybody? Anybody here, parents? Kids are asking, or even if you're not at that age, do you remember your child asking you for a pet? Maybe it's your spouse that's asking for a pet. Maybe it's your roommate. I don't know. Everybody wants a pet. Everybody wanted one. I wanted one when I was younger. I really, really wanted a cat. Actually, I wanted a cat so bad that my very first email address, my very first email address was iwantakitty@yahoo.com. That was my first email address. I wanted a cat so, so bad. And I remember going to my parents for months and months and months. And I was like, guys, I really want a cat. Please, mom and dad, please, please, please. Cats are awesome. I had like all my points listed out, you know, as an eight-year-old, right? Like, this is why we should get a cat. Cats are awesome. Cats are cute. Like, nothing that actually, you know, was, you know, logically made sense, but to me it made sense. Cats are cute, cats are fun, why not get a cat? I really, really wanted a cat. And finally, after months and months of me asking and asking for a cat, I had my first experience with compromise, and my parents got me a fish. My parents got me a fish. And they got me this fish. When they got me this fish, one of the conditions was that I was going to be the one to feed the fish, and I was going to be the one to clean the tank out every week. And of course, I said, yes, absolutely, I promise, I will feed it, I will clean the tank, I will do this all the time, I will do it. And I did, I will say that. I did feed the fish and clean the tank with gusto for about 2 weeks. And then once the novelty of having a fish started to wear out, I started needing some reminders, right? Hey, Elise, did you clean the tank this week? Oh, I will. I don't know. Like, I'm busy. You know, how busy can an eight-year-old really be? But I was busy. Have you fed the fish today? I will. I'll get around to it. What? Like, what are they going to do? They can eat their fin, they're fine, right? Like, it's a fish. So I needed more and more reminders, until finally, sadly, one day, I came downstairs, woke up, and saw my fish swimming very, very slowly, floating, really, upside down in its little bowl. And I went, oh, that's why I need to feed you, that's why I need to clean the tank. And I say all this because at the time, I remember when my parents were giving me all these reminders, I remember thinking to myself, stop nagging me, right? How many people think that when somebody's, you know, reminding you to do something you were supposed to do but you didn't do? Stop nagging me. Why are you always on my case? Of course I'm going to remember. Of course it's going to be fine. Stop nagging me. Stop nagging me. I look back on that now, and I realize that my parents weren't nagging me because they thought it was fun to, well, maybe they did, I don't know. But they weren't nagging me because they thought it was fun to nag. They were actually teaching me something very, very important as my parents. They were teaching me that what I was responsible for, I would be held accountable for. What I said I would do, they would hold me to it. They were teaching me that responsibility means accountability. Now, whether you believe in God or not, whatever you believe about God, we all believe that every single person in this world has a certain level of responsibility towards themselves and towards others. Let me explain. We believe that you have a you believe that each and every single person has a responsibility to make an honest living so that they can provide for the needs of themselves and for their families. Correct? We believe that. We believe that each and every single person has a responsibility to be kind, to be decent, especially here in Canada, and to be a law-abiding citizen, right? We believe that we all have a responsibility, certain obligations to ourselves and to each other, whether you believe in God or not. But if you don't believe in God, here's the issue. If you don't believe in God, who is the one that holds every person accountable to that responsibility? How do we hold each other accountable? You could, and this is where people would start to say, well, you know, ideally, the law, our judges, our courts, would hold people accountable to those obligations. Well, who holds our judges accountable? Who holds our judges? Who holds our law system? Who holds our courts accountable? Because we all know that people are imperfect, right? Their judgment can be flawed. So who holds them accountable? Well, then you might say, okay, well, what about the government? The government should hold us accountable. Well, you have the same problem. Government officials aren't perfect either. So who holds who accountable? The Bible presents a very different picture. The Bible presents a picture of responsibility and accountability that says that all responsibility is God-given and God-determined. All responsibility for each and every single person, all responsibility, all our obligations to ourselves and to each other, all those responsibilities are God-determined and God-given. Therefore, we are all accountable to God for our responsibilities to ourselves and to each other. We are accountable to God. Accountability comes from God. So today what we're going to be looking at is what it means to be responsible and to be accountable to God. We're asking the question, what does it mean? What does that look like? What does it mean to be responsible and accountable to God? What exactly are we responsible for, and what are we accountable for? And we're going to explore the answer to this question in a cautionary tale, a story of what not to do. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. And Jesus began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent to them another servant, and they struck him on the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed. And so with many others, some they beat and some they killed. Let's take a moment here to ask, who is Jesus talking to? Who is the audience that Jesus is telling this parable, this story to? In just a few verses before this, we see that the chief priests, Jesus is in Jerusalem, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, in other words, the religious leaders in Jerusalem, have come to challenge Jesus' authority. They have come to try to trap Jesus and to show that he's not the teacher that he claims to be. And because these religious leaders love to flex in front of a crowd, they're doing this in public. They're doing this in front of everybody. They're doing it right there. And their initial reaction, the funny thing is, their initial reaction to this parable, to the story that Jesus is telling, would be to identify with the owner of the vineyard. Their initial knee-jerk reaction would be to identify with him, because in their heads, they are the ones who are taking care, who they are the ones who own the vineyard. They are the ones who are guarding tradition. They're the protectors of the faith. And Jesus is the one who is the interloper, not them. Jesus is the one who's coming in and trying to take what's theirs. So they would have identified with the owner of this vineyard. But as Jesus continues to tell this story, it becomes very, very clear, not just to them, but to us, who everyone in this story is. The owner is God. The one who owns the vineyard is God, and the leaders, the religious leaders, the chief priests, scribes, all those people, those are the ones that are the tenants. Those are the ones that are the tenants because they have been given responsibility. They don't own it, but they've been given the responsibility to care for the vineyard, for the nation's needs and mission. They were just tenants. They weren't the owners. And they were given that responsibility to care for Israel, care for the people. And in reality, they thought they were doing that. They thought that by their rules, by their judgments, and by their exclusions, that they were doing what they were supposed to do in the vineyard. They thought they were protecting it. They thought that they were guarding it. They thought that they were doing exactly what God would have them do. Have you ever watched a toddler, someone who's, you know, old enough to walk around and stuff, like maybe a three-year-old, start to play with a newborn baby? Have you ever watched? It's fascinating. Toddlers aren't very strong, right? But it's almost like their enthusiasm and their excitement gives them this superhuman strength that they can't seem to control. They don't really know restraint, right? And what they intend to be a loving face touch usually ends up being a WWE smackdown. Right? You've seen it. Good intentions, bad execution. Good intentions, bad execution. And what normally happens is a parent or a caretaker or caregiver, someone will be there, and they'll have to correct this toddler and say, gentle, gentle, be gentle. Gentle, gentle. And the toddler has to learn to listen to this correction, take the correction in and obey their parent's correction. Otherwise, if they do not listen and receive it, they will end up hurting the baby and the baby will need to be taken away. Right? For the safety of the baby, the toddler needs to be taken away from the baby if the toddler will not listen. And the reality is, what Jesus is saying here is that God had sent servants, prophets, time and time again to correct them. Read here, he sent them many servants, time and time again, to correct their approach, to correct their execution. But they had not listened. That's what Jesus is saying here. They hadn't listened to a single one. And in fact, a lot of them were killed, a lot of them were beaten, and a lot of them were treated shamefully whenever they tried to correct the nation. The privilege and honor of being a part of God's people in whatever role you were playing, whether you were a priest or whether you were a farmer, the role and privilege of being a part of God's people was given alongside a responsibility to live accordingly. And that responsibility was even greater for the leaders, for the people of influence in that time. And how did they handle that responsibility? To answer that question, let's look at Isaiah chapter 5, because that's where Jesus is alluding to this whole time. Kathy, if you could throw that up there. Let's see what Isaiah 5 says. He looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. It yielded only bad fruit. Being responsible to God means being responsible with your influence. Because all of us, after all, have influence, right? All of us have people that we impact, whether it's in your family, whether it's with your friends, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your school. If you rub shoulders with anyone, you have influence. If you're on social media at all, you have influence. If you go to the grocery store, you have influence. All of us, in some way, in some capacity, have influence. So being responsible means being responsible with your influence. It means helping and not hurting the people around you. It means giving those around us the best of ourselves so that they can be the best that they can be. And it means receiving correction when it comes so that we can do this to the best of our ability. Being responsible to God means being responsible with our influence. Let's keep reading in verse 6. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but they feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and went away. Now this is foreshadowing, because the tenants, the leaders, would eventually do what they've been planning to do since Mark chapter 2, and they would put him to death. They would get rid of him. But the outcome is not what they thought it was going to be. It's not what they hoped for. Occasionally, in my role here at the church, I'll have people come and ask for advice. They'll ask me for my perspective, and usually it's when people have a decision to make. They have a choice to make, and they don't know whether to choose A or to choose B. If you've ever given anyone advice in your life, or I should say good advice, if you've ever given anyone advice in your life, you'll know that you can't make the decision for someone. You can only say what could happen if they choose A or if they choose B. If this happens, then that will happen. If this happens, then this will happen, right? If you gossip about someone's secret, if you tell somebody else something that someone told you in confidence, well, this is what's going to happen. You're going to break their confidence. You're going to lose your relationship with them when they find out, and then it's going to be a whole big mess. But if you choose to stay quiet, you choose not to break that confidence, you preserve the relationship, you protect their reputation, and ultimately that relationship is saved, it's preserved. And they trust you even more than they did before. If this, then that, right? If this, then that. Ultimately, though, you can't choose for them. Jesus does not make decisions for us. He never violates our free will to make a decision for us. He only tells us where our decisions will lead. He only tells us where we will end up if we make certain decisions. And in this case, the path that the leaders, that the nation is choosing, the path of military action, the path of political power, the path of religious exclusion, is only leading to destruction. It's only leading to it being taken away. And what happens? This becomes all too real, not even a century later, 70 AD, when the Romans come after an uprising by the Jewish people. They come and they destroy the temple, they destroy the city, and Jerusalem has never been the same since. It has never recovered since 70 AD from that incident. One of our worst habits when it comes to reading the Bible, and especially reading the parables, is that we give in to the temptation to take Jesus' words lightly because it's a story. We take his words lightly because we think he's just telling us a folk tale, something to teach our children good manners. We brush it off like Cinderella. That's not what this is. This is an honest-to-God warning about the paths that we choose and where they lead when we ignore the one to whom we are accountable. And it's not because God is petty and he smites us when we don't listen. That's not what this is. Remember that earlier in the parable, Jesus says himself that God sends lots of servants. God sent all these people to correct them, to talk to them, to try to teach them a different way. God gives us chance after chance to listen and to learn because he loves us. God gives us opportunity after opportunity, voice after voice, word after word in the Bible to try to help us to learn a different way. It's not because he's petty. It's because he knows where our decisions lead when they do not involve loving him and loving others as ourselves. He knows where it leads when we do not humble ourselves to live the way that we were designed to live. He knows where it's going to go, and we are not going to like it. That's what he's saying. He knows where it's going to go. He's not going to make the decision for us. But he wants us to know where our decisions are going to go when we ignore the one to whom we are accountable. So being accountable to God means that what we do matters. It means that every single one of our decisions has weight. And it means that we either reap rewards or we reap repercussions. Rewards or repercussions. And perhaps you're here and you're listening to me say all this and you're thinking to yourself, well, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. I don't know that I want to be accountable. I don't know that I want to be responsible for anything. I never asked to be responsible for anything. I never asked to be accountable to God. I never asked for any of this. Why is it on me to be responsible? Why is it on me to be accountable? But I want to look at that from a different angle. I want to look at that from a different angle this morning. Instead of seeing it as something negative that is put on you, isn't it an incredible and amazing that there are 7 billion people on this planet, and you're just one of them, but you matter? Isn't it incredible and affirming to know that you're just one of this many people on the planet? You're not a celebrity. You're not a government official. You're not an Instagram influencer. But the reality is that you make an impact, you make a difference, you matter. The choices that you make impact your family, they impact your friends, they impact your neighborhood, they impact your church, they impact the people that you rub shoulders with. Each and every single choice that you make, the things that you say, the things that you don't say, the tone of your voice, the way that you walk down the street, all of these things actually matter, and they have purpose. You have a reason for doing it. You matter. It is incredibly dignifying and affirming and loving of God to give each and every single one of these 7 billion people the ability to make a difference and make an impact. It is so loving of God to design us all this way, to design us all to matter. And I think at the heart of it, it's this. What you do matters to God because you matter to God. What you do matters to him because you matter to him. And if you have a hard time believing that, just read three chapters down in Mark, and you'll see just how much you matter to God. You'll see just how much you matter to Jesus. What you do matters because you matter. And if you have a hard time believing that or remembering that this morning, I want to encourage you to write down their names. To write down the names of the people that matter to you and that you matter to. Top of that list is God. But I think that you'll find as you write down the names of the people that are in your life that you matter to, you'll be surprised at the sheer volume, the amount of people that are actually on that list. Write them down. Put that list on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your car dashboard. Put it on a sticky note on your laptop. Put it somewhere you can see. So that every time you're faced with a choice, every time you're faced with choosing between anger or grace, between telling the truth or telling a lie, between listening or lecturing, every time you are faced with one of those choices, you'll see that list in your mind, and you'll remember that what you do matters. It matters to God, it matters to them, and ultimately, it matters to us. Let's pray.